This is Matthew chapter 22. Beginning with verse 34, our theme this week was Let Love Lead. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. He said, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So let love lead. What are we going to do with it? Well, I want you to think about first some of the distractions that we can have and distractions that can keep us from following this example. And understand the power, because this is not just a commandment of a rule like don't work on Sunday or don't be disrespectful to your parents. This is a commandment that puts you in the driver's seat to where you have to figure out what it needs to be done. So you have to pay attention. And the worst thing to try and keep us from paying attention is our distractions. So we're going to talk about distractions. And the first distraction that you can have is life. And we found that out at Montreat. We got to Montreat, and this was a change. We went from a house to a dorm room. We went from a house where you walked in on the first floor, and there's a nice front porch, to a dorm where we were on the fifth floor. Wonderful view. Once you climbed up to the fifth floor, because the elevator was broken. And I don't know what it was like here Sunday afternoon, but it was hotter up in Montreat than it was here because of the humidity. You could cut through it. It was like the coast of South Carolina. So we had to take our luggage, and we had to climb up the five flights of stairs. And then we had to go back down and get more luggage and climb up the five flights of stairs carrying bottles of water. Garrett wanted to carry two big old suitcases, and I said, "Can I help you?" He says, "No, I'm going to finish." And he did. I gave him a little medal. So that was a distraction. That was first the change, then the challenge of the elevator, the challenge of the hot thing, and then we went to bed. Now, what was interesting about these dorm rooms is they had a light with a little sensor on it, which was kind of cool when you walk in a room and a light comes on. What's not cool is that for some of us, namely me, the sensor was broken in the sense it was just adjusted a little bit different. So lying in my bed, if I turned over, the light would come on. Needless to say, I've been through Sunday worship. I got everybody to Montreat. We got settled. It was hot. We went through everything. Finished back home group. Go to bed. Light comes on. Well, Garrett says, "That's good because you have blood all over your sheets." And I went, "What?" And turns out I'd cut my leg. Well, I'm glad I figured that out. Glad it was my blood, too. The other idea just kind of grossed me out. But, you know, that's okay. But we went to sleep. I roll over, and bam, the light comes on. And then as a Presbyterian, non-Pentecostal, I began speaking in tongues as I had to get up, walk across the room, turn the light out. And it was hot. And so when it's hot, it's hard to just stay in one place. You tend to want to roll over. But when you roll over, bam, light comes on. I speak in tongues, walk across, turn it out. It doesn't happen to Garrett's side of the room because he's not in that line of fire. I literally did this. Bam! Light comes on. What I did find out is that if you roll over very slowly, didn't come on. Now, that kind of thing makes you wonder, maybe God's not as loving as I thought. So that was fine. We got through that. But distractions, that's just kind of life. And then Friday night, we have our little, okay, you guys, we know you're very close and all that, but the drivers need to get some sleep so that we can drive you home. And at 1:30, fire alarm goes off. We have to get everybody together and go outside in the parking lot. That was okay. Firemen came. We got to look up close at fire trucks. They don't keep them as clean as they do in Cobb County, but they were okay. Fine, go back to bed. 2:30 goes off. According to Garrett, I was speaking in tongues again. That's life. Life is full of distractions. So if you're going to live out your calling, here's what we're going to do, our call and response. Repeat after me. Don't be distracted. But instead, confirm your faith. And affirm the faith of others. All right, let's do it again. Don't be distracted. But instead, confirm your faith. And affirm the faith of others. Next distraction. And we saw this a lot at Montreat. Now, I want to tell you, this is not all bad. This is good. Because when you're bored and you're sitting there, and sometimes Montreat can be kind of intense. You sit in small groups. You share the deep parts of your soul. Sometimes you just got to have a little break. And it's easy to kind of veg out by doing this. But when there's somebody sitting across from you that needs to talk, or when you're sitting at a table, this can be a distraction. It can go either way. But we were talking about Sabbath time. In Sabbath time, the speaker said, you guys don't have enough time for Sabbath. Well, I think you do. You just have to choose between, you know, binging Stranger Things or taking a little real Sabbath time. We talked about how it would be hard to do 10 minutes of silence. But we could do 10 episodes of Stranger Things like that. So let's go for figuring that out, because technology, again, can be a great thing, but it can be a distraction. Again, these are not great evils. It's going to be what you do with it. It can be a wonderful tool. So let's focus again. Don't be distracted. But instead, confirm your faith, and affirm the faith of others. Next distraction, expectation. Problem with having been someplace a lot is that you expect it to be one way and then it's another way. And I can tell you that's not just true of Montreat, it's true of every day of your life. If you expect it to be cool at Montreat and you get up there and it's hot, you got a choice. You can be upset about it or you can be okay with it. You probably won't be happy about it, but maybe you can make that choice. But really, there are only three feelings. There's lots of emotions, but there are three feelings. Positive, neutral, and negative. And how you feel about something is more your choice than it is your reaction. If it's raining, you can be excited about it. You just have to choose to be excited about it. And you can be one of those kids that plays in the rain, or you can just complain. So either you play in the rain or you complain in the rain, but either way, that's how you choose based on one of those feelings. And I got to tell you, this group that I was very proud of. And Rachel said the best thing, because with the heat out, we found out we were getting air conditioned the next day, so we had to do it one night, and you would have thought it was going to be Christmas. I can't wait. Tomorrow we get air conditioning. The expectation outweighed the frustration. So if you're not careful, your expectations, and let me tell you, if you're going to be in a relationship with anybody, work relationships, other relationship, your expectation of how that's going to go, it's only going to frustrate you. Because as soon as you get a handle on life, as being a parent, I can tell you, as soon as I got a handle on it, they grew to another stage and I was totally incompetent. But that's the way it goes. So how our expectations are, they can be a distraction. So I'm going to tell you, don't be distracted. But instead, confirm your faith and affirm the faith of others. All right, let's talk politics. I don't want to talk specifically politics. I just want to talk that politics can be a great distraction. Who are you going to vote for on one day of the year should take, well, maybe that much conversation. What you believe about a leader is like believing about Jesus and not doing anything. Jesus said, you want to know what it's all about? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say just believe and walk down the aisle and you'll be fine. He said love, and love is something you have to do every day. And it doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. It's not think the right thoughts and do the right things. If you keep acting like you love everybody, you're going to love everybody. Because that's a power you have that nobody can take away from you. And we heard about it in a small group. As soon as politics came out, man, it just divided the whole group. And they don't vote. I'm just saying, that's just not the best use of time. Have you ever had an argument with your parent? Have you ever had an argument with anybody and you changed their mind? No. Then why don't we keep doing it? You can't convert to convince, so why bother? And politics are great, and you can think about it, but just don't let it keep you from doing what you need to do. To be an American means you have to be free and you have to be responsible. Because with great freedom comes great responsibility. That's the deal. And you can live that out whoever you vote for. You can live that out if you're madly insane. So there's hope for us. So with me again, don't be distracted.
But instead,
confirm your faith.
And affirm the faith of others.
Fear. Being afraid. What are people going to think about me? What's going to happen? Present moment, I'm pretty good. But down the road, when I start thinking about 5 years, man, I can get anxious as I'll get up. When I start worrying about what's happening with my daughter in Morocco, it freaks me out. When I'm talking to her, I'm fine. But when I can imagination will get you. I was at Harvard Presbyterian by myself working late one night, and I swore I heard something down the hallway. And that's a church that doesn't have buildings near it, so I was walking down the hallway, and it was dark. And I got down there, and I said, hello. And then, you know, I make up people. Hey, Roger, why don't you go down and check the kitchen? And Colonel Thomas, you take your Green Beret self, and you go check up front. So I walked back down my office, and I closed the two double doors that kind of went and separated buildings. And I thought, well, if somebody comes through, I'll at least have time to get out of my office and out the door if I hear those doors close. So I sat in my office, and I just couldn't get over that feeling of being in the dark in that building. So I said, I'm going to go home. And when I did, I went, and I opened the door to the outside. And what I can tell you that happened now, I interpreted it much differently then. When I opened the door, it created a little vacuum, and those double doors I closed, I heard them go bump. I slammed that door, I ran to my car, I got in, I drove around, let the light shine into the building, looking around, wondering if I called the cops, going, I think I heard something. No, I'd let them steal everything in the building. I wasn't calling the cops. And then it dawned on me that it was the vacuum of the door that pulled it. But that's what happens in your head. So our thoughts can be a great distraction, not just fears. It's just what you think. And as I tell it within our group all the time, people don't think about you as much as you think they think about you. And it's just what you think they think that's bothering you, because you don't have a clue what they think. The more you know what somebody thinks, the farther off you are. You got to ask people, because most of the time I don't know what I think. And if you ask me, it may change tomorrow. But that's a distraction. So say it with me. Don't be distracted.
But instead,
confirm your faith.
And affirm the faith of others.
All right, bringing this home. So Jesus, a lawyer, comes and tests him. Just falling in line and doing what everybody does, going where they go and doing what they do can get you. Because you see, Jesus is pretty tricky, so you got to pay attention. If you're not paying attention, you won't see it. Think about it. The greatest commandment is love. And what is the one thing you can't make anybody do? Love. You can make somebody not break the law because you can throw them in jail. But you can't make somebody love. Love is the perfect empowerment that nobody else can make you do. But ironically, it's the one thing you can't command. And in the early church, it's also the one thing you can't stop. Once people choose to love, you can't stop them. And if you want to know why they were killing early church members, it wasn't because of they believed in Jesus. There are a ton of people who believed a bunch of stuff. That's like voting. We vote for Jesus. Yay. No threat to Rome whatsoever. That's why Rome ended up buying a bunch of churches and giving them property. And once they had property, they talked about what to think and stopped doing anything. But love is something you have to go out there and do. And once you decide to love somebody, nobody can stop you. I'll share with you a longer version, but it still goes back to Greg Chambers in the second grade. I told him he was not my best friend anymore. He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Well, how? You can't be, because I don't like you." He said, "Don't care." See, Greg knew love's a choice, and once you take that choice, nobody can take that away from you, but also nobody can stop you. So if we let love lead, the world won't be able to stay the same. Just don't get distracted. And that's the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, help us to choose love. Help us to let love lead. Love that casts out our fear, that overcomes our expectations, that crosses borders and boundaries and empowers individuals. For God, we would be Christ-like Christian, and we would be the church when we leave the sanctuary. That's why we've come, that's why we've gathered, and that's why we pray as we're taught, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever."